Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Megillah Daf Tesvav. We left off on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis. We are two lines before the lines get wide. Two lines, the second to last skinny line, Amar Rav Nachman. So today's shiur is sponsored, a lot of sponsors, Baruch Hashem, for today's shiur. Sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It is also sponsored by Jeremy Lussman in honor of the 75th birthday of his father, Dr. Mark Lussman. Many more in good health. Also by Ariel Jaidel for Refu Shlema, for Rachel Malkin, also by Simeon Moshe Kleinman, also for Refuah Shleima, for Rachel Malka Vassertel Shendel, also by Sean Rosenblum as a thank you for the shiur and accessibility of the shiur online. Also, the Zechus Refuah Shleima for Yisrael Ben Fruma, although he had a sudden life-threatening medical condition, he stayed up to date with the daf shiur. He should continue to do so in good health. Also by Ephraim Friedman, Lezecher Nishmas, Rav Leibel Dulitz, Zichrono Levracha, a legend at MTA, a dynamic Rebbe and teacher who taught and left a lasting impact on generations of students. I'm sure, like me, anyone who was at in MTA during those years has wonderful, wonderful memories and stories of Rav Dulitz, Zichrono Levracha, Neshama Shav and Aliyah. Also by Jonathan Levy in honor of the wedding of my dear Talmud, Jacob Deitch, to Naomi Weinberger, and also and Lezecha Nishmas Chaya Bas Yisrael. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. And again, today we're going to continue the Agadita about the Megillah, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Yichus of Rachav Azona and Chulda Hanaviyah, and what Yeshua's role in all of that was. We're going to talk about how Nevi'im, when they're quoted, what it means when we mention the name of their city, what it means when we mention the name of their father. We're going to identify Hesach, who was Hasach, and then the Gemara is going to tell us about the beauty of four particular women in history, and then it's going to tell us about Daniel not wanting to report back negative news, and then we're going to have eight different ma'amarim of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Chanina on the bottom of Amud Aleph, and then the Gemara is going to tell us how Midas Hadin was Mekatreg, and then but the Torah ultimately protects us when Midas Hadin is Mekatreg, and then the Gemara is going to have various opinions of how far Achashverosh's staff, the Sharbito Shel Achashverosh, extended when Esther walked into the room, and Achashverosh's offer of Chatzi Amalchus, and then the Gemara is going to have 12 different opinions what was going through Esther's mind when she invited Haman to a party. 12 different opinions. And we're also going to talk about what was going through Achashverosh's mind when he was unable to sleep that night. And that will bring us to the end of the daf. We'll see how far we get. It's a lot of words on today's daf. So let's begin. Amar Rav Nachman, Chulda mibnei benav shel Yeshua Ahisa. Chulda was a granddaughter. Chulda was a descendant of Yeshua. Ksiv Hacha, the Pasuk says, Ben Charchas uksiv Hasam, and the Pasuk says, Betimnas Cheres, that it says that Chulda Hanaviyah that was considered, was Eshes Shulam Ben Tikva Ben Charchas, and it says that Yeshua was buried in Timnas Cheres. So you see that the two are related. Eishei Ravina Saba Rav Nachman. So Ravina Saba says Rav Nachman, you tell me Chulda was a descendant of Yeshua. Shmona Neviim Vehim Kohanim Yotzim Mirachav Azona. The eight Neviim who were all Kohanim that descended from Rachav Azona. Ve'iluhin, and they are Neria, Baruch, Usuraya, Mechastia, Yirmiya, Chilkiya, Hanamel, V'Shalom. Rabbi Yudomer, Av Chulda Neviim Mibnei Bnei Shel Rachav Azona Isa. Chulda Neviim was also from Rachav Azona. How do I know that? Ksiv Acha, because the Pasuk says Ben Tikva, Uksiv Hasam, and the Pasuk says Es Tikvas Chutashani, that the Rachav made for the Meraglim the sign of the red string that she hung out. So you see from there that this is a Kasha Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says that Chulda descended from Yehoshua. Now we see that she in fact descended from Rachav Azona. How could both of those things be true? So Amalei Ein Asaba, Rav Nachman said Ein Asaba V'Armila, and some say he referred to him as Pas Yeuchma, a blackened kli, because it's the derech of Talmidei Chacham to be engaged in Torah and not to clean their clothing too much, so their clothing becomes blackened. Mini minach tistaim shmeita. What do you mean? We're both right. Di'igai Rav Nasu Yehoshua. Rachav must have gone through a gerus, and she married Yehoshua, and therefore, of course, we're both right. That Chulda descended from Yehoshua, and Chulda also descended descended from Rachav Azona, because they got married to each other. So it says the Gemara, but wait, to me Avle Zara Yoshua, did Yoshua have any offspring? Vaksiv, doesn't the pasuk say in Divrei Hayamim when it talks about Shevet Ephraim, it says Nun bino Yahushua bino, because Yoshua is the son of Nun, but then that's it, the Yichus stops. Sounds like it didn't go any further than that. Says Gemara, Bnei Lo Havule, he didn't have any male offspring, he didn't have any sons, but Binson Havule, he did have daughters. The Brisa had said before that there were 8 Nevi'im that were all from the Zera of Rachel. Says, well, wait a second, Bishlam, in who I understand Yirmiyahu, Hanamel, Baruch, and Saraya, Mifrashi, those are explicit that those people are Nevi'im. El Avasayu, but Nerio, who was Baruch's father, Mechasya, who was the father of Saraya, Chilkia, who is the father of Yirmiyahu, and Shalom, who is the father of Hanamel, Minolan. Where does it say anywhere that they were Nevi'im? It just says that they were the fathers of Nevi'im. So what gives you an indication that they themselves were Nevi'im? Says Markadu Ula, Damarul Kalmakam Shashmav Shemav of Binevius, anytime mentions a person's name and his father's name in association with Nevi'us, Piyaduashu Navi Ben Navi. That's an indication that the father was a Navi as well. Shmovalo Shemav mentions the name of the Navi without mentioning his father's name, Piyaduashu Navi Velo Ben Navi. Then you know that he's a Navi, but his father is not a Navi. Just parenthetically, before we go weiter in this, we mentioned that Yoshua married Rachav. So Tosfos over here raises the question, how's that possible that Yoshua married Rachav? She was from the seven Amim, and that, you know, that Arasa Min HaTorah, Lo Sischatin Bam, even if they're Niskayer, even if they go through a Geirus, you're not allowed to marry the seven nations that inhabited Eretz Yisrael before we arrived. So the Tosfos suggests that maybe she was not from Sheva Amim, she was from some other nation, and she had just come to live in the Eretz Yisrael. And other nations, after their Geirus, you are allowed to marry them. And Tosfos says, and don't tell me that the Yisr of Lo Sischatin only applies beginning with Kibush HaAretz, and she went through a Geirus prior to that, because the Medrash says that even in the days of Moshe, the Nesinim came to be Megayer, and they were not accepted. They were turned into Chotvei Eitzim and Shoavei Mayim. So you see that even before Kibush HaAretz, there was an Yisr of Lo Sischatin. Sfas Emes says, well, wait a second, how is it that they kept her alive? Pasuk says, Lo Sechaya Kol Neshama. So it must be that since they made a particular Shavua to her, that they're going to save her and save her family, and that Shavua was Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh, that they were allowed to leave her alive, even in violation of the halacha of Lo Sechaya Kol Neshama. So that's included in that, and included in that must have been a heter to marry them. Meaning, you don't have to say Tosa's answer that she was not from the seven nations. Maybe she was from the seven nations, but guess what? You're not allowed to leave them alive either, and they obviously left her alive, so maybe included in leaving her alive, and including in leaving her family untouched, was also an implicit promise that she's not going to have the halachic status of the seven nations, and therefore the Yoshua is allowed to marry her after she converts. So says the Gemara, back in the discussion of the Nevi'im over here, Shmo v'shem Iro, whenever it mentions a Navi and the name of the city from where he hails, Meforosh b'yadua shu me'osayir. So then you know that he comes from that city, but Shmo v'lo shem Iro. But if it says name and not the name of the city, b'yadua shu me'Yerushalayim, then the default city of Nevi'im is Yerushalayim. Other than that, meaning there's such a madrega of Kedusha that one achieves when they get to Yerushalayim, the default city that a person has Nevuah from is Yerushalayim. Of course, in Chutzlars, there is no Nevuah. In Chutzlars, only Yecheskel, it's a very rare thing to have Nevuah outside of Eretz Yisrael, because there is this inherent Kedusha that's necessary when a person has Nevuah. I was just listening to Rabbi Breidowitz from Or Sameach. He was saying that he was reading a letter that Rav Kook wrote to the Ridvaz. The Ridvaz was very unhappy with the Heter Mechira, and Rav Kook was a supporter of the Heter Mechira. So one of the things the Ridvaz wrote in his letter to Rav Kook was, you know, back in the day when we were learning in Valashin, I used to admire you so much. I wanted to be just like you. I wanted to, but now look, now you associate with all the Zionists and you're supporting Heter Mechira. So Rav Kook wrote back many things, very fascinating things. One of the things that Rav Kook said was that I was never worthy of you looking up to me in the first place. I don't know why you would look up to me, but if I were worthy, it's inconceivable that after arriving in Eretz Yisrael, I would have fallen in Madrega. That's inconceivable. You arrive in Eretz Yisrael, you only rise in Madrega. So anyway, so back in the Gemara, so it says, Masisa Tana, Kol Shemasov Masa Avosov Stumen. Anytime it doesn't say in the Pasuk whether the person's actions are positive or not, and whether his father's actions are positive or not, Upir Lecha Akas Bechmei L'Shvach, and then by one of them, the father or the son, it says something good, Kigon Tvar Hashem Rasha Kasher Hoyel Tzfanya ben Kushi ben Gedalia. So Tzfanya was a Navi. Biyadua Shu Tzadik ben Tzadik. That's an indication that Kushi, his father, was also a Tzadik. But whenever it gives you one indication, and that indication is a negative indication, Kigon Vayhi Bechodeshvi by Yishmael ben Netanya ben Elishama. So Yishmael is one that killed Gedalia ben Achikam, who was a Tzadik. Biyadua Shu Rasha ben Rasha. Then it's an indication that Netanya was also a Rasha. Amar of Nachman, Malachi Zem Mordechai. Malachi Anavi is really Mordechai HaYehudi from the Megillah. V'lomen Nikra Shmo Malachi. Why is he called Malachi? Shayim Mishnah LeMelech. Because he was in a position of great political power. He was the Mishnah LeMelech HaChashverosh. So Meisvei asked the Gemara, is that really true that Malachi is Mordechai? Baruch ben Neriah Saraya ben Masaya. Saraya is not a name you hear so much, although Saraya Dublitsky you have very rarely, but it's a great name of a Navi. Saraya ben Masaya, Daniel, Mordechai, Bilshon, V'chagai, Zachariah, Malachi, Kulin, Nisnabu. It says that they were all Nisnabi for the Bnei Agola about the Binyan Beis HaMikdash through the first Koresh, the first Melech Koresh. So Bishnah Shtayim L'Daryavesh, and the Nevuah was in the second year of Daryavesh, who was Darius II, the son of Achashverosh. But bottom line is, what you see is that it lists Mordechai separately from Malachi. It gives a list of Nevi'im, and Mordechai and Malachi are listed separately, so it's very hard to say that they're the same person. Tiyufta, and that's therefore Tiyufta and Rav Nachman. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Shuban Karcha, Malachi ze Ezra. Now, you want to identify Malachi? It's Ezra HaSofer. The Chomer Malachi Shmo. Some say, no, it's not anybody, it's Malachi. There's a Navi named Malachi. Amar Rav Nachman, Mustavar commanded Malachi ze Ezra. It's more Mustavar to say Malachi and was Ezra. Dichsiv bin Nevi'is Malachi, because in the Nevuah that Malachi had given, which is written in Sefer Malachi, it says, but God, the Yehuda v'toev v'nes sabi Yisrael v'yushlaim kichel Yehuda kodesh shem asher avu v'albas el nechar, that the Navi is giving Musar to the Bnei Yehuda for their rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he was mechal the Kedusha in the fact that they married Nashim Nachrios, they married non-Jewish women. Not only that, but they did it b'farhesya, they did it b'chutzos ari Yehuda, and they did it in Yerushalayim Yer HaMikdash, that they married these women. So during the Tkuf of Malachi, this is unprecedented. The Jewish people were bin nichshal in Nashim Nachrios. Uman afresh Nashim Nachrios, and which Navi gave Musar to Klal Yisrael about marrying Nashim Nachrios? Ezra. Ezra was the one who said such things. After Bnei Yisrael came back from Golas Bavel, most of them were not behaving properly, and some married even Nashim Nachrios. So Ezra was the one that gave Musar about this, and told them to change their ways, and his tefilos worked, and ultimately they did tshuva. Tichsiv, Ayan Shchanya ben Yechiel, Mibnei Elam, Vayomer LaEzra, Anachnu Ma'alnu Belukenu, Vanoshev Nashim Nachrios. So you see, if Bnei Yisrael and the Tochacha, the Nevi'im to them, was the same by both Malachi and by Ezra, it makes sense that Malachi was Ezra. We'd rather say that than to say that there were two different tekufos, where Jewish people were marrying Nashim Nachrios. Tan Rabban, Arba Nashim Yafyafios Hayu Ba'olam. There are four beautiful women in the history of the world, and they are Sarah, Abigail, Rachel, and Esther. So the man named Esther Yerakrokas Haisa, and the one who says that Esther was Yerakrokas, that she wasn't actually what you would describe as physically beautiful. She had a greenish complexion, and that's why she was called Hadassah, because she was green like a hadas. We said that was one of the interpretations of why she was called Hadassah, that she had this chut shel chesed that made her so attractive to people, even though she was not objectively beautiful. So Mapik Esther Mayel Vashti. Then you got to take out Esther and put Vashti in her place. After all, we learned that Achashverosh was bragging about Vashti, that she was more beautiful than all of the other women, right? What was that in Daf Yud Beis, where we learned about that whole conversation, that she was the most beautiful, and that's why he summoned her to the party. So Vashti was very physically beautiful. Tanu Rabbanan, the Braisa teaches us as follows: Rachav Bishmazin. So if someone even mentions the name of Rachav, it's ma'orer a great taiva in a person. Ya'el Bekola, when you'd hear Ya'el's voice, it would create a great taiva. Avigail b'zichirasa, Avigail, just by recalling her and thinking about her, Michal Bashal b'riyasa, Michal Bashal, when you see Michal Bashal, you have such a taiva. Amar Yitzchak Kala, Omer Rachav Rachav. What does it mean that Rachav with Bishma? It means if you say the name Rachav, Miyad Nikri, you become a Balkari right away. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amnamina Rachav Rachav Lachbatli. He says, oh yeah, look at me, Rachav Rachav, and nothing's happening to me. So what do you mean? mean that you become Balkari right away. So I'm like, Kika Amina Biyodo Makira. No, it's only if you've met her. If you've never met her, you don't know what she looks like. So saying her name is going to have no impact on you. Tosus raises the question, really, there were only four beautiful women and this is the group? He says, Kasha, Mailo Chashav Chava, Damrin Perecheskas Chabatim, Sar Lefnei Chava, Kikov Pifnei Adam. Why don't we mention Chava? After all, the Gemara tells us in Sechzba Basra that Sarah in comparison to Chava was like a monkey in comparison to a human being. So how can you say that Chava doesn't make the list? So says Tosos, no, that would be cheating to put Chava on the list. We're talking about people that had a mother and a father. Chava was Yitzir Kap of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So of course she's going to be an entirely different Bria. She's going to be an entirely different category. The Gemara continues the Pesukim in the Megillah. Mordechai Yada is Kol Asher Nasa. Mordechai knew everything that was going on, and he goes out and he cries, Zaaka Gedola Umara. So my Omar, what was his big cry that he was screaming? So Rav Amar Rav says, Gava Haman Me Achashverosh. He was saying that the Rishos of Haman was greater than the Rishos of Achashverosh, which is to us that's obvious, but apparently at the time everyone knew Achashverosh's Rishos, but they weren't as aware of what Haman was up to. Ushmuel Amar Gava Malka Ilah Mimalka Tata'a. And Shmuel says what he was saying was that the Melech Elyon, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is stronger than the Melech Tachton, than what Haman was trying to do. But that was really a Lashon Sagi Nahar. He was saying it's as if Haman is gaining the upper hand over the plans of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So after Esther hears the Mordechai crying out and wearing the big day sack, Vatischalchal Amalka Ma'od, the Pasuk says, that she was Tischalchal. So my Vatischalchal, what does that mean that she was Tischalchal? So Marav Shapirsa Nida, it means that she was so terrified she became a Nida. Rabbi Yirmiya, meaning unnaturally, it wasn't her time, and she just had some sort of emotional episode that she became a Nida. Rabbi Yirmiya Amar Shohut Shcholinukveha, that she got so shaken that she all of a sudden had to go to the bathroom. So after Esther heard about the fast of Mordechai, she sent one of her officers to Mordechai. Vatikra Esther chala Asach. So Esther called Asach. Amrav Hasach ze Daniel. That's a reference to Daniel, who is one of the officers of the king all the way back in the times of Balshazzar. And he remained in the court of Achashverosh. So Vlamenik Shema Asach. Why is he called Asach? Shechadchu Migduloso. Because in the days of Achashverosh, they brought him down from his position of authority, from his position of prominence, and he just became one of the Sarisim. Shmuel Amar Shekol Devrei Malchus Nechtachon Al Piv. And Shmuel says, no, he's called Asach because everything that was decided in the Malchus in the days of Achashverosh was decided by his advice. He was such a valued advisor. So it's the exact opposite. Not that he was cut down from the Gedula, but that he was elevated to the highest point of Gedula that a civilian can be. Ladas Mazeh V'al Mazeh. So the Pasuk says that she said, find out what's going on. Why is Mordechai behaving this way? So Rabbi Yitzchak Shol Chalo, Esther sent a remez to Mordechai, Shema Avru Yisrael Chamishachom Shetar Duchsiv Bahen Mizem Mizehim Ksuvim. Did the Jewish people violate the halachos of the Torah, where we say about the Torah that mizeh mizehim ksuvim on the two sides of the luchos? So Mordechai requested of Esther through Asach to come to the Melech and to be mischanein for her people. But Esther responded to Asach to tell Mordechai that she's not going to go to Achashverosh because she's afraid she's going to, if you go without Rishus, you get killed. So v'yigidu Mordechai is divrei Esther. So they told Mordechai what Esther's response was. But it doesn't say that Hasach went and told Mordechai what the response was, because he didn't want to give back a negative report, meaning Esther's response was, no thank you, I'm not going to do it. So Hasach didn't want to be the one to deliver that message, so he sent someone else to do it. So then the command was given, gather all the Jewish people and they'll go fast and they have for 3 days, etc. So Ad Asher Lo Kadas. So the Gemara explains, what das are we talking about over here? What law are we talking about over here? It's not a reference to the Das HaMelech, because she should have said Kedas HaMelech. So Amar Rabbi Abba, Shelo Kedas Haya Shebechol Yom V'Yom, that this whole thing is Shelo Kedas. It's against the law, because each and every day, Ad Achshav Ba'ones, up until now I was Nivellus to the Melech Ba'ones, because he always was one that summoned me, V'Achshav Baratzon, and now I'm willingly going to him. K'shar Avadati Avadati, K'shem Shavadim Beis Abba, Kach Ovid Mimcha. And therefore, just like I'm lost to my father's house, from the day that I was taken by Achashverosh, Rosh, now it would be asur to you, like an Eishas Ish that's Nivala to someone else, Beratzon becomes Asur Labaila. When an Eishas Ish is Nen, so as long as she's not married to a Kohen, she's allowed to go back to her husband. But when she's Nivala Beratzon to someone else, so she becomes Asur Labaila. So this is for the first time, this is a decision that's going to get me, that's going to make me Asur to you forever. Tulsus raises the question, Vim Tomra, my lawyer Magarsha, Vitemu Teres Lachzira, why didn't he divorce her? The halacha is a person is Megarish Hasishto and she remarries, then you're not allowed to marry her back, even if she subsequently gets divorced. But if he's Megarish Hasishto and then she has Znos, she's just Mizana with somebody, so then you are allowed to marry her back. So why did Mordechai just divorce her so that she wouldn't be lost forever? So Yeshlom Rufish called Masa Haget, who LP. Eidim for Yari Pen Yisparsei Madaver LeMalchus, because to do a get you need Eidim, and the walls have ears. You don't want people to find out about this. Mordechai kept the fact that she was married to him a secret. Right? One of my friends just reached out to me the other day and said, I don't understand. They were Dafka looking for Basula. So how could it be that she was married to Mordechai? So I said, well, Achashverosh was towing Tam Basula whenever he was with her. So he said, yeah, that's what he was towing. But didn't they realize that she was married to Mordechai? So the answer is no. That was a big secret. Mordechai was placing her in the palace, even though he was married to her, and they didn't tell anybody, so much so that they didn't even want to do a get because they were afraid that then Achashverosh was going to find out. Vayavar Mordechai, so Mordechai was Vayavar, he did everything that Esther said, so including the fasting for 3 days. So Amarav, what does it mean Vayavar though? She'ever Yom Rishon Shel Pesach B'Tainus. It meant that that year the Tainus included the first day of Pesach, because on the 13th day of Nisan the Igaros of Haman were written, and on that day Esther said you have to fast for 3 days. So that means Yudalid, Tezvav, and Tezayin Nisan. So on the first day of Pesach, they were fasting, which means that they didn't do the mitzvah of matzah. That's a kasha that some of the Achronim raised, that how could they be mevatel mitzvah d'oraisa of matzah? So the Oracle Nerissa suggests his answer. Everyone suggests there are different answers. The Bin Zion says, no, maybe they ate shalok ederech achila. So in that way, maybe it's a kiyum mitzvah of matzah if you eat shalok ederech achila, but it's not a violation of the fast. You have to figure out if it's not achila, it's not achila, then it shouldn't be a kiyum mitzvah either. But whatever it is that it was worthwhile, it's pikuach nefesh, so they didn't eat matzah that year. And Shmuel Amar da'avar arkuma demaya, that Mordechai passed on the other side of a river outside of Shushan in order to gather all the Yehudim that were there in order to fast. Vayihi bayom shlishi v'tilbash Esther malchus, and on the third day Esther was clothed in malchus, big day malchus mibayle. It should say she was wearing the begadim of Malchus. So Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Chanina, Lamit Shalavishata Ruach HaKodesh. It means that Ruach HaKodesh resided on her. And Malchus doesn't mean big day Malchus. It means the Ruach that's called Malchus. And the Raya that you could say about a Ruach, that it's called Levisha, that it's called wearing, is Ksiv HaChavetilbash, Ksiv Hasum Ruach Lavsha Es HaMasai. And over there, it's a Ruach. It's that's explicit in the Pasuk that it's a Ruach, and yet it uses the term Lavsha. So once we mention Rabbi Lozer in the name of Rabbi Chanina, so the Gemara brings a whole bunch of other memories of Blazer in the name of Rabbi Chanina, not having anything to do with Megillas Esther. So Vamer Blazer Rabbi Chanina, the Olam Alti Berch Sedyot Kal Beinecha. A person should always take the bracha of the Hedyot seriously. Shari Shnei Gedolei Ador Berchem Shnei Adyotos V'Neskayma Behen, because there were two Gedolei Ador that were blessed by two Adyotos, and the brachos from Rukuyim Ve'Eluhein David V'Daniel, and they are David and Daniel. David Debarchei Arvana D'Chsev Ayomer Arvana LaMelech. David was blessed by Arvana because after David got the Gorin of Arvana in order to build the Mizbeach there, like he was told, in order to stop the Magefa that was caused by the counting that he had done. So Arvana gave a bracha that Hashem Elokecha Yirtzecha, and that was fulfilled because the pasuk says V'yata Hashem la'aretz v'teyatzar ha-Magefa me'al Yisrael. The Magefa stopped. So Arvana's bracha to David, even though Arvana was a hedyot, he was a nobody, nevertheless it was fulfilled. Daniel debarchei Daryavesh. Daniel was blessed by Daryavesh. That Daryavesh loved Daniel and he wanted to save him, not to throw him into the Gov HaArayos, but the Sari HaMelucha were encouraging him to do like the Gzeira, to follow through on his Gzeira, so he had to send him in. And at that time Daryavesh gave a bracha to Daniel that Hashem, who he davens to all the time, should save him in the lion's den. And guess what? He was saved in the lion's den. So you see that a birchas hedyot al tei kalabeinecha. Rav Shapter often points out that the word hediot means is from the same etymology of the word idiot, or I should say the word idiot comes from hediot. The idiot doesn't necessarily mean a lowlife or a terrible person. It means someone who's just very simple-minded. Someone who does. So whenever you describe a hediot, like Kohen Gadol versus Kohen Hediot, for a Kohen, he's just regular. It means someone who's very regular. So a hediot, that Altei Berch's hediot, Kalabeinach, in fact, someone once told me that someone refuses to come to our shul because I once said that the Rama says that someone who eats in the sukkah in the rain is called a hediot, and there's many very holy Chabad Hasidim eat in the sukkah in the rain because that's their tradition. So he said, so I just translated the word hediot the way Rav Shach always translates it. That's what the Rama says. Someone who eats in the sukkah in the rain is called an idiot. That's what the Rama says. So the person says, if someone who can call all Chabad Hasidim idiots, I didn't say that. I just said what the Rama says, that they're called a hediot. The etymology of the word hediot means idiot, but idiot means it comes from hediot. That's megala what idiot means. It's not megala what hediot means. But anyway, so even a birchas hediot, a brach of a simple person, a brach of it should be taken seriously. That's the famous story with the Ragachavar, that someone came and asked the Ragachavar for a bracha. And he was sitting with another Rav. I think he was sitting, we'll leave out who the other Rav was, a very chashva Rav. And the Ragachavar said, no, I don't give brachos. Even though he was a chassid, he was not into giving brachos. So the person said, so the other Rav said, look, even a birch hediot al tekalabei necha, so you should give a bracha, at the very least, kalvachomer, your bracha would mean something. So the Ragachavar said, I have an idea. Instead of me giving a bracha using a kalvachomer, why don't you give a bracha without a kalvachomer? And the bracha will be fine. So Avamra it's not only the bracha of a hediot, even the klala of a hediot should not be kalabei necha. Shari Avimelech kila l'sara, because Avimelech was mekalal sara, hineilu l'cha k'susei naim, v'niskayim b'zara, and it was fulfilled in her children, v'yiki zakan Yitzhak v'techena inav, and he was unable to see, Yitzhak became blind. V'amr b'lazar amr b'chanina, another statement, v'amr b'lazar amr b'chanina, bo reish l'alchem Yitzhakosh Baruch Midas Basar V'dam, go and look that the gevura and the capabilities of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are not the same as the kochos of a human being. Midas basav adam adam shavis kedera. When it comes to basav adam, a person first puts the pot on the fire, v'arak achkach nosa in tochamayim, and only v'achkach nosa in tochamayim, and afterwards he puts water in it, aval kodesh baruch hu nosa in mayim v'acharkach shavis kedera. Hashem manages to put the water there and then the pot underneath it to hold the water. L'kayim Hashem l'kolti to amon mayim b'shamayim. That's how Hashem fills the cloud. The water is there and then there's like this base kibul to hold the water. V'amer b'lazer rabbi chanina kala omer dav b'shem omer. Anyone who says something in the name of the person who initially said it, maybe Gula Liolam is going to bring Gula to the role Shemar V'tomer Esther the Melech B'Shem Mordechai, that Esther said to the Melech in the name of Mordechai. So when Esther heard from Mordechai that the Sarisim wanted to kill Achashverosh, she revealed it to Achashverosh in Mordechai's name, and that was therefore written in the Sefer HaZichronos that Mordechai saved the Melech, and that led to the Gula of Bnei Yisrael. So you see, Omer Dover B'Shem Amro is maybe Gula Liolam. They say Alpi Kabbalah that you know, after a person finishes a drasha, they say Uvol Tzion Goel, based on what they quote from the Arizal, that at the time of Matan Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael a certain amount of Chidushei Torah, and whenever any Talmud Vasek is also the Chadish until Bias Goel, and the Geula is being pushed off until we say all of the Chidushim that we need to do. So when we're Misrashal from making Chidushim, from creating Chidushei Torah, that delays the Geula. So when a person darshins and he says some sort of chiddush, so he should say Uval Tzion Goel, that this should bring us a little closer to the gula, because I said some sort of chiddush, that chiddush should bring us closer to the gula. So the Medrash Shmuel and Pirkei Avos and Perek Vav Mishnah Zayin says someone who doesn't say something b'shem Marmo, he just steals other people's chiddushim, so he's not going to ever have a kinyan of Torah. He's not ever going to want to say his own chiddushim because he doesn't have to. He's stealing everybody else's chiddushim, so it's never going to bring the gula. Whereas if Omer Dover b'shem Omer, so you're going to want certain things said in your name also, so you're going to be motivated to create chidushim. So if you're going to be motivated to make chidushei Torah, that's going to be mevi geula liolam, that's going to bring geula into the world. Question is, why does it have to be a statement of Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, that Kol Amar Dov B'Shem Amro? It's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Kol Amar Dov B'Shem Amro, maybe Gula Liolam, and we learned it from Esther. So what's Rabbi Chanina teaching us with this din? So the Marsha suggests that since this Perek is is a brisa that it could be that Rabbi Chanina was unaware of it. Meaning that parak of Pirkei Avos, parak Vav of Pirkei Avos were not Mishnayos, were only brisos. So it could be that he was simply unaware of it. But Rav Yonason Sacks has a shtick whenever he quotes Kolomer Davar B'Shem Armo. Whenever you say something in the name of the person who said it, maybe Gula Liyolim, he says, who said that? Who said Kolomer Davar B'Shem Armo? Maybe Gula Liyolim. Meaning, does anyone ever remember to quote who actually said that? Who actually was the Bala Maimer? So he's cheating a little bit. Rabbi Balzum pointed out to me, he's cheating a little bit by saying that, because there are two Bala Maimer. It's a Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, but it's also Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Chanina. So says the Gemara Vayter, Va'amer Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Chanina, Tzadik Avad L'doro Avad. When a Tzadik is lost, he's lost for his generation. That meaning that generation now no longer has someone to protect them. But the Tzadik himself is in a better place. Mashal Adam Shavdil Margolis, like a person loses a precious gem. Kol Makom Shi Margolis Shmo, wherever it is, it's very precious and it's doing just fine. Lo Avdel LeBailim, it's just that the Bailim doesn't have it anymore. So the Kol Zeh Einenu Shavali. Haman said that he tells his wife and he tells his family that all the covet and all the Yosher is worthless to him. Samar Blazer Rami Chanina B'Shasha Ra Haman as Mordechai Yosher B'Shar HaMelech Amar Kol Zeh Einenu Shavali. When he saw Mordechai sitting in the Shar HaMelech, what, all of a sudden everything became worthless to him? Why is that the case? So Kedrav Chista, Dam Rav Chista, Zeh Ba B'Pruz Bali, that Mordechai would be towing Haman with a taina of Osher V'Zeba, and Haman would stand in front of Mordechai B'Pruz Boti with a Shtar of Anius, meaning Haman had sold himself as an Eved to Mordechai many years prior, but then it was forgotten, and Haman rose to Gedula, but Mordechai would always show Haman B'Kvius, the Shtar Mechira, to remind him where he comes from, that you're my Eved. So Haman says, with all that, everything he sees, all of his nechassim, he realizes kol mashe kan eved kan rabbo. So it's einenu shavali. All of his nechassim are worthless every time he sees Mordechai, because it all really belongs to Mordechai. Amar Rav Papa v'korilei avdu demizdavin betalmi. The other people would say about Haman because of that mechira that he was an eved who was sold for a few loaves of bread. That's what Mordechai bought him for. So v'kol zeh einenu shavali. He says, Kol Zeh Einenu Shavali, so what's the lashon of Zeh? I only say Zeh when something is right in front of you. Zeh means like your Mora Be'etzba, right? That's why Chazal say on the Pasuk, Zeh Keli Vanveyu, Melami Charasa Shivchal Yama, Shalarai Yecheskel Mebuzi Binavuasa, because to say Zeh means you have a clear vision to the point that you're able to point to it. So Melami Shakol Gnazav Shalosu Rasha Chakukir Alibo, it tells us that all of his valuables were Chakukir Alibo. He was constantly thinking about his wealth. U'bishar Sharos Mordechai Yoshe B'shar HaMelech Amar Kol. And therefore, when he saw Mordechai sitting b'shar HaMelech, he said Kol Zeh. It's as if it was with him at all times. Is Einenu Shavli. V'amar Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Chanina. Another teaching. Asur Hakadosh Baruch Hu Lios Atarib Rosh Kol Tzadik B'Tzadik. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is going to rest his Shechina as a crown on the heads of every tzadik. Shnamar B'Yom Oyi Hashem Tzvakos Ateres Tzvi. So Ma'ila Ateres Tzvi Ulutzviras Tifara La'osin Tzvion L'Metzapin Tefarto. For those who do the Rotsav Hakadosh Baruch Hu and wait for and hope for constantly for the Shevach and the Gadlus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to for them it's going to be an Atara, for the Shechina is going to be an Atara on their heads. So Yachal HaKol, you might think that anyone who does the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and hopes for his Teferes is going to be Zocha to this Bracha, even if they're prideful about it. Tamalomar L'Shar Amo L'Misha Meisim Atzmo Kishirayim. It's only if a person is humble about it and treats themselves like they're just Shirayim. Ulurach Mishpat Zeh Hadonis Yisrael. That's someone who judges his ruach and he does tshuva. He overpowers his yetzer and he does tshuva. Ule yoshev al mishpat. So zeh hadan din emes lamito. That's referring to someone who judges properly. Lugvura zeh miskaber al yitzro. That's someone who doesn't listen to his yetzer hara to violate averos. Meshivim milchama. Those are tamid chacham shenosu venosu b'milchamta shel Torah that engage in the milchama of Torah. Sha'ara elu tamid chachamim shemashkim and marivim batik nesias batim midrashos. Those are the Tamid Chacham who arrive early and leave late from the Batei Knesios and the Batei Midrashos. So it's as if they're the ones that open and close the doors of the Batei Knesios and Batei Midrashos. So then the next pasuk, the Gemara Dashan is the next pasuk. Gamar midas l'din v'nekodesh baruch hu ribono shel olam manish tanu me'elu. Why is it that the Umos HaOlam are different than the Jewish people that they're zochet to such a schar? So amar l'kodesh baruch hu Yisrael lasku b'torah masalim lasku b'torah. It's because the Jewish people are all sick in Torah. So amar lei. So the midas l'din will say gam eile abiyayin shagu b'shech Shechartau. So Paku Pelilia. So the Jewish people also have Rishayim who do terrible things. So they should go to Gehenim. So Ein Paku Ela Gehenim. Paku always means Gehenim. Shnemar Vlotzia Zoslo Lefuka. So when Avigail asked to prevent David from killing Naval Kamali, she warned him that it shouldn't be Lefuka. Means it shouldn't be something that brings him down, that brings him to Gehenim. Vein Pelilia Ela Dayanim. And Pelilia is a reference to Dayanim. Shnemar Vnasan Biflilim. So it sounds that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maskim to the Midas Hadin. So the Gemara goes back to explain the Pesukim in the Megillah, and it's after saying Vatilbash Esther Malchus, that she had Ruach HaKodesh, then all of a sudden, Vatamud B'chatz HaBeis HaMelech HaPnimus, she was standing in the inner court of the king, and the Pasuk says, Am Rabbi Levi, Vatamud means that the Ruach HaKodesh stopped, stood in place and stopped escorting her. That up until that point, she was escorted by Ruach HaKodesh. Now she felt empty of the Ruach HaKodesh. Kivin Shigel the Beis Hatzlam, and once she got to the Beis of the Zara of Achashverosh Nestalkei Meneshchina, the Shechina left her. So Varma Keli Keli Lama Zavtami. She said, Ribbono Shlom, why have you abandoned me? Shema Tadon al Shogeg Kemezid. Do you treat the someone who violates an Aver B'Shogeg like me as if they did it Bemezid? Valonis Karatzon, someone who Baonis was brought to Achashverosh repeatedly as if I did it Baratzon. O Shema Al Shakras of Kelev, or maybe it's because I was Mevaza Achashverosh by calling him a Kelev. Shnemar Atzila Micherev Nafshi Miad Kelev Yichidasi. So Chazav Krat Varye. So she went back and she called him a lion. Shnemar Hoshi Eni Mi Piarye. Vehi Keros Hamelech Es Esther Malka. When the king saw Esther Malka, Amr Rabbi Yochanan Shlosha Malach Yasharis and Zamnul Abel Sushah. There were three Malach Yasharis that were there at that time. Echot Shegbiya Savara, one who lifted up her neck to make her look more beautiful. Vechot Shemasha Chut Shel Chasrala, another one that gave her just this general sense of chesed and grace, and another one that extended the sharbet of the malchus all the way into Esther, so she could touch the tip of the sharbet. V'kama, and how many amos did that sharbet extend? It was two amos initially, but the malach extended it to 12 amos long. And some say the malach extended it to 16 amos long. Some say the malach extended it to 24 amos long. Three different opinions how long the malach made the sharbit of the malchus. B'masnisa tana al shishim. In the Brisa we learned that it was 60 amos. Fourth opinion. And all of these different opinions you find also when Basparo stuck out her arm to reach to Moshe in the basket. And we also find the same thing with the teeth of Og Melech HaBashan, that he uprooted and mounted to the throne on Klal Yisrael, and then bugs bore a hole in the middle of the mountain and made it like a donut, and it fell over his neck, and when he wanted to lift it up again, his teeth had overgrown and made it impossible to lift up the mountain. That they were lengthened. Rabbi Bar Ofran Amar Mishum Rabbi Lazar. There's Bar Ofran again. Remember earlier in the Masech that we had that Tosa said is it can't be Bar Ephron because you don't name somebody Ephron. So Rabbi Bar Ofran said in the name of Rabbi Lazar Shasham Mirabov Rabbi Mirabo Masayim, that he had a tradition going back many generations that it was 200 amos the teeth that Og Melech HaBashan's teeth overgrown. Vayomer lo hamelech leEsther Malchus. So the Melech says to Esther Malchus, Ma bakasha secha chatzia malchus v'teyos. What's your request? I'll do up until half of the malchus, whatever you want to do. So what does it mean up until half of the malchus? Chatzia malchus v'lo kol malchus. He didn't say the entire malchus. So v'lo davar shechotzitz malchus, nor anything that would be right in the middle of the world, which is underneath, which is under my jurisdiction. So my niyu, what's right in the middle of the world? What's in the center of the world? Binyan Beis HaMikdash. That's a reference to Beis HaMikdash. That much he's not willing to do. Yava Melech Vaman Elamishta. So she said, let the Melech and Haman come to the party. Tan Rabbanan, Ma Rasa Esther Shazimnes Haman. What was Esther thinking when she invited Haman to the party? 12 opinions. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Pachim Tamnolo, Shnemra Yishulchanim Lefneim Lepach. That she was trying to prepare a michshal for him. She wanted that Haman should stumble at the party because a mishtah for Rasha'im always causes them to stumble. Second opinion, Rabbi Shua Omer, mi beis avia lamda, she learned from her father's house that she would hear the children learning Torah, that they would say the pasuk that they learned, that the suda for Rasha'im is always a pesach for them to fall, to falter. Shnemar, im rav sonacha hachileu lechem, give him lechem and you'll see that he'll fall apart. Rabbi Meir Omer, third pasuk, yitol eitz of yimrod, she didn't want to give Haman time to realize that he was in trouble and get advice and then rebel against Achashverosh because he might have been matzliach in the rebellion. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Kadeshali Akiruba Shi Yehudis. He didn't want Haman to think that she was Jewish. He didn't want Haman to be choshish that she was Jewish, so therefore she was overly nice to him. Rabbi Nechemi Amar Kadeshalo Yomer Yisrael Achosi Yeshon Beis HaMelech Yasichu Daitan Min Arachanim. Such a powerful line that Rabbi Nechemi says that she didn't want the Jewish people to think, oh, Esther's taking care of us, we're okay, and therefore they're not going to daven as hard. They should always realize that only the Ribbono Shel Olam takes care of them. So you should think, Esther abandoned us, Esther is working against us, she's inviting Haman, and that way they'll daven harder. Rabbi Yossi Amar Kadeshi Matsu La B'chol Eis, that she wanted Haman to be available to Achashverosh at all times, because maybe she'll be able to get him to do something embarrassing in front of the Melech, and then he'll get killed. And then Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh says that Ulai Yargish HaMakom V'yasalon Nes. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see how low I have to go, that I have to do Chanifa to Haman, and such a zilzul in my kavod, that will cause us a Nes. Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha Omer Asbir Lo Panim, I'll show Haman a nice face, Kedei She'arig Hu V'hi, so that the Melech will kill both of them in his anger. And since he's going to kill Haman, the Gzeira will be Batel, because that was the rules in those times, that if one of the Yoatzei HaMalchus gets killed, then it's Mevatel the Gzeira. So she was willing to commit suicide for that. She figured, I'll flirt with him, then we'll both get killed, but at least the Gzeira will be gone. Rav Gamliel Amar Melech Hafach V'chan Haya, that she knew that Achashverosh was always flip-flopping. So she said, I could get him to make a decree against Haman, but if Haman is not readily available, then he's going to flip-flop. He's going to change his mind the next day. So I need Haman there when Achashverosh makes this decree. Amram Gamliel Adayin Shrichnan L'Modai. Wait, we still need to hear what Rabbi Elazar HaModai has to say about this. Titania Rabbi Elazar HaModai Omer Kenatu B'Melech Kenatu B'Sarim. That Esther worked in a double way, that she caused Haman to be hated from two sides. From the side of the Melech, that he'll see how much she is Machshav Haman, that she invited him to a Suda, and Mitzad the Sarim, that they will see that Haman is raised above them, that he was invited to the Suda. And if the Melech and the Sarim all hate him and are all jealous of him, they're going to kill him and no one's going to have Rachmanos, no one's going to care about him. Rabba Amar Lifnei Shever Gaon, that in general, right before a person falters, he's at the peak. She's bringing him to a peak so that there's only one way to go from there, and that way is down. Abai and Rabba both said the reason that Esther invited Haman to the Mishnah was because Paranus of Rasham comes through their Mishnah. Bechumam Ashes as Mishtehem. So Ashkei Rabba Baravuel Elio. Rabba Baravuel saw Elio once. Amalei Keman Chazi Esther Va'avdahachi. We just had 12 opinions. Which one is the correct opinion? What was Esther really thinking when she invited Haman? Amalei Kechulu Tanayu Kukula Amarei. They're all right. All of those opinions are correct. Vayisabulam Haman is Kvod Asher V'Rov Banav. Haman then told about his Osher and all of his Banim. So V'Kama Rov Banav. How many sons did he have? It doesn't mean only the 10 that were mentioned in the Megillah, because apparently having 10 sons was not so uncommon. So Haman would not have taken such great pride in having only 10 sons. So Amrav Shloshim Shloshim, he had 30 sons. Asarim Mesu, 10 of them died natural death. That was also not so uncommon in the Middle Ages. They have a lot of children, and about a third of them will die from some sort of disease. They'll be before there's antibiotics or whatever. So about a third of them would die. Asarim Nitlu, and 10 of them were hanged. Like it's told in the story in the Megillah, Asarim Mechazon Al Psachim, and 10 of them have to go begging to beg for food. Rabbanu Nami Osin Shemechazon Al Psachim Shivim Havia, that there were actually 70 that had to go begging. Siv Sveim Balechem Niskaru. Well, I'll decree Sveim El Shivim, that they had to hire themselves out for bread. Rami Bar Abba Amar Kulam Nasayim Ushmona Havu, that really there were 208. Shnemar Verov Banav and Verov Begematria Masan Var Beisar Hava. Verov is Gematria 214. So but Verov Ksiv, it's written without that vav, so it's written without a vav to show Gematria of 208, and that's how many sons Haman in fact had. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Balayla Hu Nadida Shnas HaMelech. Tomorrow Be'ez Hashem will be back in person, and not only on Zoom, we'll be on Zoom also, and everyone should have a wonderful day.
If he had 200, he had over 200 sons, imagine how many descendants of Haman are still floating around.
Right, right.
Wow. Thank you.
Okay.